The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible, if you will, go back to Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, and look at verse 12, if you will. Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 12. Read it just a moment ago. I will reread it for reiteration's sake. Well, the Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And I want us to focus on "and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart" as we think about this morning, guarding your mind in the summer. Guarding your mind in the summer. Someone said this, that Christianity is all in the mind. Now, can I tell you, they're absolutely right when it comes to understanding and accepting truth, because you have to understand it and accept it in order to obey it. There was a man that lived in Long Island, New York, many years ago. He had a lifelong ambition, and that was to purchase a barometer. And so he wanted a weather barometer, and so he had, that was his lifelong ambition. If I could, I don't know why it was, but it was, if I could purchase a weather barometer, he said, I would just feel like I'm complete. And so he purchased one of those, and he took it home, and he thought it wasn't functioning right, because as soon as he put it up over the mantle in the fireplace, it pointed to hurricane. And he thought, no, this thing is not working. And so he took it down. I mean, it didn't look like a hurricane outside. So he took it down and he shook it, and he put it up and it's still saying hurricane. So he thought, you know, I must have bought one that doesn't work. And so I'll just take it back tomorrow. And so he decided he was going to go into town and he was going to do a little bit of shopping. And he came back and the barometer was gone. Not only was the barometer gone, his entire house was gone. A hurricane had hit. Now, can I tell you that the Word of God can help you to see exactly what is coming? You know, there's no mystery in it whatsoever. You know, the Bible teaches that if we do this, many times we'll get the result or the reaction of this. If we do this, we'll get the result or the reaction of this. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about so many different places. God says, if you do this, example, He says, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. So God says, if you do this, I promise you, I'll do this. God says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will and it shall be done. So what God is saying is, if you do this, I'll do this. He says, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll be a father unto you. So what's He saying? He said, if you do this, I'll do this. He says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So what's He saying? He's saying, if you do this, I'll do this. So many times in your Bible, as you're a Bible student, as you study the Word of God, here's what you do understand. That God says, okay, if you do this, He said, in response to what you're doing in accordance to what I told you to do, then I've got the blessing for you. I've got the promises for you that this will come your way. Now, by the same token, if we don't obey God in certain areas in our life, then God said, if you don't do this, then the response to that is also this. So we can really choose what the outcome of blessing is. We can really choose what the outcome of God working in our life, or if you would please, disciplining us in our life, we can choose that. That is totally up to us how we choose the outcome. Now, because of that, let me show you some things from the Word of God this morning that will be helpful to us in this manner of your mind in the summer. Let me give you some statements. God knows our thoughts. We saw that just a moment ago over in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the latter portion where it says that is a discerner, it says of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart. So God knows your thoughts. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that you do not have a thought that God Himself does not know. There's no thought that is hidden. There's no thought that is put away from. There's no thought, if you would please, or an intent of the heart that is not discerned by God Himself. All right? So now we understand the mind. We understand that there are three different types of minds according to the Bible. You say, well, preacher, I thought I only had one mind. Well, you probably have at least two of these minds from time to time, and I'll show you that, but there is the natural mind. There's the natural mind. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 14, the Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. It says, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So there's the natural mind. That's equated. That's the person that's not saved. Okay, they've got the natural mind. They pick up the Bible. They don't understand it. They pick up the Bible. They can't discern it. It's spiritually discerned. They're not spiritual. They're not saved. They have never met the author of the Bible. They don't have the private interpreter who is the Holy Spirit of God. And so they're all by themselves when they pick it up. Now, by the way, a lost person, somebody who's never been saved, can understand some of the Bible. But they can't understand the spiritual implications of the Bible. They can't understand the things that are spiritually taught. Now, they can pick up their Bible, and they can read their Bible, and they can understand, what the Bible says when it talks about numbers. They can understand what the Bible talks about when it's describing a geographical location. They can understand what the Bible talks about when the Bible is giving a definition. They can understand some basic principles in the Bible, but they can't go beneath that which is the surface to understand the spiritual significance of it. All they can understand is what they read, just like reading another book. All right? And so we understand that there's the natural mind. Statement number two, there's the carnal mind. The carnal mind. Now, what is that? Well, that's the worldly Christian. The worldly Christian. Now, you may sit here today and you may say, well, I thought that there was just two types of Christians. I thought there was that person that was, or two types of people. I thought there was the saved and the unsaved. Well, there's really two types of Christians. There is the worldly Christian and there is the spiritual Christian. All right? The Bible says over in the book of Romans chapter 8 and in verse 7, the Bible says, because the carnal mind, it says, is enmity with God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. All right, so here is that person that has that carnal mind. Okay, now what is that? That's a person that is worldly. They got one foot in the world. They've got one foot over here serving God. They come to church and their body is here, but spiritually they're not on the same plane. They hear things and they say, I believe that, I'll do that, I'll surrender that, but I don't want to do that and I don't want to surrender that. They're not completely in. It's almost like somebody playing in a basketball game and they don't give it their all. It's almost like somebody playing in a baseball game and they don't give their all. Okay, this is a person that God says is enmity with Him. All right, so God says they're not really completely on my side and they have set themselves up to oppose me. Okay, now wait a minute, then there's the spiritual minded man. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15, the Bible says, listen to it now, but he that is spiritual, so there is a spiritual person. Now, who is the spiritual person? The Bible says that he that is spiritual judgeth all things. It says, yet he himself is judged of no man. You know why? He's living so far above reproach that nobody can point to him and say, you're my stumbling block. So he's living so far up here that nobody really can put a finger on him to judge him, to say it's because of you that I'm not going to church. It's because of you that I'm not living for God. It's because of you. Now you've got to be careful if you're a parent to be spiritual. Because your children will rise no higher than you are. You have to be careful to lead your children in the right direction and help your children to know how to spiritually discern things. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 5, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Now, he's saying that to a very spiritual church, but that spiritual church, God is saying, now let me just remind you, don't forget the mind of Christ. Don't forget that God wants to work in you. So statement number one, God knows all of our thoughts. Statement number two, your Christian battle is in your mind. Your Christian battle is in your mind. You know, you have to decide that you want to give your mind to the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, the Bible says over in the book of Genesis, to give you an Old Testament reference, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually." So understand that God looked down during the time of Noah, and he looked down to wicked men, and he said, "This one thing I know, that man has evil imaginations." Now, if you do not submit yourself to the Holy Spirit of God, you will think wrong. You will. You'll come to church and the preacher gets up, the preacher's preaching, and the preacher might be aggressive in his preaching, and boy, he's hitting the pulpit, and he is spitting, he's walking back and forth, he's climbing on the pew, he's giving it everything that he should give, and you'll walk out the very same that you came in. Now, you have to be careful as Christians to understand there is a battlefield here. There's a battlefield here. Paul said this in Romans chapter 7 and verse 25. He said that with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. He said, with the mind. With the mind. So what should you do? You should decide to give your mind to God. You should decide to think the things that God wants you to think and abstain from thinking the things that you ought not to think. Give your mind to Christ Jesus. Make sure that you submit your thoughts, your very thoughts, to that which is the Lord God. All right, so statement number one, we understand this, that God knows your thoughts. I'm talking about this. Over the summertime, there's more temptations, I believe, to the child of God over the summertime than any other time. So guard your mind in the summer. How do you do that? Realize that God knows your thoughts. Why do you do that? Realize that there's a battlefield in your mind. Statement number three, how do you do it? What you think, realize, you will become. Now realize what you think, you will become. Somebody said this, I think it's very noteworthy. He said, when the mind is right, the actions are right. Wait, somebody else said this. He said that you're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. That's pretty good, right? Pretty deep. Okay, you're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. So it's very important for us to understand, as a man thinketh in his heart, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible says to eat and drink, saith the Lord. But this, it says, but his heart is not with thee. All right, so make sure that the heart is right. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said this, behind every human tragedy is a slow process of evil, wicked thinking. So make sure your thoughts will produce an action. Stay with this now. You ready? Your thoughts produce an action. Your action produces a habit. You ready? Your habits, if you're not careful, will produce a lifestyle. So you have to understand that your thoughts produce an action. If you think it, you'll possibly do it unless you change your thinking. Somebody said that the world is contaminated with stinking thinking. That's pretty good. All right? So you be careful that you don't think the wrong thing, because if you wind up thinking the wrong thing long enough, it's going to produce an action. If it's an action long enough, before you know it, it turns into a habit. And before you know it, that habit will turn into a lifestyle. You know how many people used to go to church, don't go to church anymore? You know why? Because they didn't think it was important. It was followed by an action. That action was followed by a habit. That habit was followed by a lifestyle. You know how many people never used to do drugs, but do drugs today? You know why? Because first they thought it, and then they followed through with their action, and then from their action it led to a habit. And by the way, that habit today is a lifestyle. Can I tell you, if you want to have the right lifestyle tomorrow, you decide that you're going to think the right thing today. Make sure that you dwell on the right things. No wonder we have such a contaminated society when 48 hours per week on average per household is watching something that is indoctrinating them on a flat screen. No wonder we have such a dying, wicked, perverse type of society today when over 30 hours of rebellious music a week is pumped into the hearts and into the minds of our young people. Amen. No wonder. You know, stop being so passive as a parent. Love your child enough to help your child. When your child starts listening to the wrong type of music or they have friends that are involved, hey, you said, but you understand, that is their friends. Hey, you can get them some better friends. You can get them to come to church. You can put them in a youth group where they're going to hear red hot preaching and young fundamentalists. You can get them out soul winning. You can put them around Christians. You can put them in an environment. I'm telling you, what you put into them today is what's going to come out tomorrow, and you've got to decide that you're going to put the right thing in if you want the right thing to come out. You've got to decide that. But that's a choice. You put the right thing in your marriage today. Tomorrow you stand, and I'm going to say it this way, a better chance that the right thing will come out tomorrow. But if you don't, you don't have any chance. My Bible says, as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So whatever you're spending time sowing today is going to be that which is your reaping production tomorrow. That's why I say to believers, hey, you need to get your bodies in church. Stay in church. Don't miss church. Get in the house of God. Get under the spout where the blessings come out. Get in a place where God can speak to you. God can change your life. God can help you to know exactly what to do and when to do it and where to do it. And you let God be God and you let God help you. I'm saying this, I'm saying that God knows all of our thoughts. God, think about this, shows us that the Christian battlefield's the mind. Statement number three, I said this, what you think about becomes you. There was an actor many years ago, his name was Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy Stewart fought in World War II. His daddy was so afraid that, and his daddy tried to point him as much as he could to God and tried to point Mr. Stewart as much as he could to coming to a relationship with Christ. And he was in the Army Air Corps. When he was in the Army Air Corps, he enlisted there, and as he's getting ready to go across and to fight, his daddy sent him an enclosed copy of the handwritten Psalm 91. And he said, now, Jimmy, he said, I want you to read that. A part of that scripture says there, it says, he shall give his angels charge over thee. Watch it now. It says, to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, can I tell you, we have to decide that we want the ways of God. Oh, come on. You ready? There are people that come to church and they hear preaching and they like it. There are other people that come to church and they hear preaching and they endure it. There are other people that come to church and when they hear preaching, they hate it. Now, I don't know about you, but I would rather love righteousness, holiness, godliness, than unrighteousness and unholiness and ungodliness. Now, where are you going to find that at? Well, you're going to find it in church. I mean, come on, we don't have to be too smart to figure it out. You go down to a bar this morning, you're not going to find what you find in church.
Right.
Come on. You say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to go to a bar. I'll just go do a good thing. Why choose to do that which is the natural mind? Why choose to do that like an unsaved person, run down to a wicked place like a bar or someplace like that or a theater or someplace? Hey, why don't you decide to take it a step up and decide that you're even going to bypass that which is being a worldly person and even go a step farther and be spiritual? We could do that if we wanted to. Can I tell you what's going to change America is spiritual people. Your kids need to see you being spiritual. Your husband needs to see you being spiritual. Your wife needs to see you being spiritual. Your friends need to see you being... There ought not ever be a day when somebody can give a witness against you saying, you miss church. Do we understand that the only institution that Jesus Christ ever established in his life was the institution of the local church? Now that is the Son of God who created the world. And if he thought it so important that he established the church, then how much more should you and I as believers think it ought to be that important to attend it? Look, if I had a choice today between going out and working and coming to church, I promise you before the Lord, I go to church. If I had a choice today between going out and finding myself the biggest sale that I could find, I promise you today I'd be in church. If I had a choice tonight, whether sit home, suck my thumb, or watch my kids suck their thumb, or I suck their thumbs together, I tell you tonight, I'd be in church. Hey, listen, somebody's watching you. You've got a neighbor. You've got a friend. You've got a husband. You've got a wife. You've got children. You've got neighbors. You've got all sorts of people, and they're watching you. Why not be that emblem of a testimony as to what you ought to be with Jesus Christ and decide that you understand that you're causing somebody else either to use your life as a stepping stone or a stumbling block. But somebody's watching you. Come on. Now look, I'm not saying this because I'm the pastor of Parkside because you're here, but I'm going to tell you something, to be honest with you. And don't get mad at me for what I'm about to do. Okay, raise your hand. Say, look, if you're not going to get mad at me, raise your hand. And you already predicted now. You already said you're not going to get mad at me. But I'm going to show you something that bothers me. Mrs. Wesnowski says, she says, don't do it. That's pretty good for a 54-year-old man. Now watch this, though. That should never be. We got the living Bible. We got the Holy Word of God. We got Christ Jesus, the only one that saves sinners. Only one. Only one. Somebody needs to adopt those pews over there and say, I'm going to take it as a personal project to fill them. Hello? Say, preacher, that's your job. No, dear beloved, that's our job. Amen. I'm not called to be able to do it all. There's no way. Are you listening to me? Listen, when I first became here as pastor, it was so funny because the fellas was afraid to say anything. You remember that? They give an idea. You remember that? You're in those staff meetings. You remember that? They give an idea. And I would say, oh, that's a good idea. And they say, oh, they get real smiley, you know. Oh, I said, that's a good idea. But if God showed it to you, that must mean that God wants you to do it. And all of a sudden now I had fellows that would come to staff meeting, Brother Butler. They'd come to staff meeting and they would put tissue beside them. And then then when they get the urge, Brother Purvis, to say, I got an idea, they take that tissue and put it in their mouth real quick. Because they were afraid to speak, afraid they might get an assignment. Now can I tell you, look, but I don't put so much, you know, these guys that work for me, they have a shared responsibility. Can you imagine if I said, now, Brother Palmore, we're going to give everybody else off but you. You're going to run the Vacation Bible School. You're going to run the youth revival. You're going to run all the choir thingies, the financial programs. You're going to, you know, forget you're married. It's, just pretend, you know. And kids, you got kids? Don't worry about that now. And you're just going to work for, I can't do that. Why? Because his wife needs him. His children need him. So we have shared responsibilities. You know, understand this, that I'm not the best preacher in all the world, I'm going to confess. But I think we got a good word of God. Amen. We got a great sound man. Amen. Mrs. Mason, help your husband, please. I'm saying that this is a place you don't have to worry about them becoming contaminated. I mean, this is a place where you can bring your children. They're going to learn some things from the Bible. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying God knows all of our thoughts. The Christian battle is in the mind. What you think you'll probably become. How you change your thought patterns is important to know. Now, how do you change them? Well, let me give you just a couple verses and one illustration, and we'll go to the house. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, I beseech you. That word beseech is a little word, simply means beg. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, he's given the platform whereby he can beseech you, whereby he has a right to beg you. Now, this is God speaking through Paul. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, two words there are very noteworthy. The word transform, okay? The Bible talks about that we're being transformed. Now, that is the inwardness. When the Bible talks about that which is conformed, it says, to be not conformed to this world, that's the outwardness. Now, can I tell you, how you are inward will also produce how you will become eventually outward. So what I have to do is I have to work on the transformation of my mind. I don't pick up the world's patterns because the world is not supposed to be my teacher. The Word of God is supposed to be my teacher. So I'm not supposed to pick up the pattern of a people more than I am supposed to pick up the principles of the Word. So as I pick up the principles of the Word, here's what happens. It begins to transform my thinking. Right. Now, you listen to me. The first 6 years of my life, I didn't attend church anywhere. The next couple years, I started going to a very religious organization, a Catholic church, with altar boy, whole nine yards, with my parents. Then my parents had fallen out, and then they just go ever so often. But I continued in that mode of being an altar boy and all this other stuff. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. But there was no transforming. So I would be religious, if you will, please, on Sunday and live like the devil on Monday. You know why? Had no transformation that was taking place. When I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, the Bible teaches that now I became, if you would please, a child of God. The Holy Spirit became my private tutor, if you will. The Bible talks about I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things are becoming new, all right? And so you understand that there was a growth process that was taking on. And the more that you eat, the bigger you grow. So the more that you eat of that which is spiritual, the more that you grow. So I'm saying this, I'm saying understand that I am supposed to be continually being transformed. You ever hear that little song, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. But he's still working on me. Amen. That's a continual basis. Amen. All right, now wait a minute, watch this. Over in Isaiah, I'm almost done. Here it is. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. The Bible says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. I love this verse. I've been through some trying times in my life. This verse has become my verse. My verse. I get things to stir me up, I'll go to this verse right here. And I'll say, now God, you said this. Now I expect you to help me with it. Now here's what it says. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I'll go to God and I'll point that out. Said, you wrote that. I didn't write that. You wrote it. I didn't write that. You said this, God, here's what you said. You said, if I'll trust in you and I keep my mind stayed on you, that you'll give me peace, a perfect peace, which means a mature peace. So God, you said for anything that I go through, you can give me peace that no man understandeth. You can help me through my storms if I'll simply trust you and keep my mind stayed on you. Now, there's no better place, child of God, to keep your mind stayed on God than in church. Amen. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, it's coming down to the end. Finally, brethren, says, whatsoever things are, listen to what it says, true. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So he even tells us what to think on. I'll give you a story, and I'm almost done. Teacher was teaching in a public school, Christian teacher, public school. There was this one boy that just kept having problems with bad habits. So the teacher took the one boy out and said, I want to show you something that's very important. Took him out to an area that was a foresty type of area, forest, and found four plants. There was a plant that was just a little bitty plant, just a little bitty plant. There was a plant, the second plant, of course, was a plant that was a little bit bigger. The next one was pretty well rooted, and the other one was a pretty big tree. Went over to that one plant that was a little bitty one first and said, pull it up. That boy took that, just a couple fingers and reached over there and pulled that plant up, just like that. He felt so good. You know, he felt like, man, I did, wow, look at that, look at that. Pulled that little bitty thing up. Took him to the next plant, went over there and said, now here, I want you to pull this up. It took a little bit, and so he had to take one hand, whole hand, not just two fingers, whole hand, and he pulled it up. He thought, man alive, look at that. Took him to the next tree and said, I want you to pull it up. He had to put both hands around it. He pulled. He had to struggle a little bit. It was a little bit more deeply rooted. He pulled, and he pulled, and he pulled, and finally it came out of the ground. Took him over to the tree that had been there for many years. Said, pull it up. He looked at the teacher and said, ma'am. Said, pull it up. He wrapped his arms around that tree. He tried every which way. I mean, he tried to pull it to the right, it would not move. He tried to pull it to the left, it would not move. He tried to pull it straight up, it would not move. He got exhausted. He said, it's impossible to pull it up. She said, right now, you're like that little bitty plant. Anybody can pull you up and take you any which way you want to. Later on, you'll get a little bit stronger. A little bit stronger. Until you're so rooted in the faith, if you'll let God work in your life, son, nobody will be able to pull you up. The Bible says that we're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But the Bible uses another word in there. It says children. So as your children are growing up, you know, anybody can do this. They get a little bit older. They get a little bit older. They get a little bit older. I'm saying this. I'm saying help you first, keeping your mind stayed on Christ. Then help those around you to get their minds stayed on Christ too. You know, there's some people, I'll be honest with you, I'm done, here it is. But there are some people, when I see them, I never worry. Is that in it? Is it that? Is that right there? I never worry. If they're going to be faithful or not, never worry. Hello. There are some people, I never worry if they're going to be walking with God, or they're going to be a church hopper and hop to another church because after all they got their feelings hurt or something. Never worry about stuff like that. Amen. But there's other people that, boy, when you see them walking down the hallway, you just kind of wonder, where are they at? What are they thinking? Are they going to make it? Are they not going to make it? Will we get to see them 2 years from now? Are they going to, all of a sudden, you know, commit Christian suicide, do something dumb? Because they're not thinking right. Be faithful. Father, bless, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.